Well, it is good. It's good to be here, good to be with family, be in the house of the Lord. And again, we don't know if we'll have the slides and everything up, but if we do not, then you'll want to have your Bibles out and open as we go through the scriptures this morning. And so we have been looking at John chapter 1. And it's represented with the four images that are behind me, which say, the first week we looked at recognize and asked the question, if something extraordinary was in an ordinary place, in an ordinary setting, would we recognize it? And then we looked at the birth of Jesus, and then we looked at how in John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And that later on in the chapter, the Word became flesh, that He is in very nature God. He is with God, everything, and He dwells with God, He is in relationship with God, and He entered into our world in order for us to be able to have a relationship with Him. And then last week we looked at the word receive because we're based at, our main text is John chapter 1, 9 through 18. So let's go ahead and read those verses. John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And though he was in though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. So we looked at, in verse 10 and 11, the word receive last week, which is much more active than it is for us. Receive, in English, you kind of tend to think a little more passively. It's something that is given to you. But the word is in the Greek means to take something. You're not just receiving it; you're taking it to be yours, and it's much more illustrated by the act of marriage, where you take someone to be your spouse. You in a wedding, don't we say, "Do you take so and so to be your lawfully wedded husband?" And then they ask the husband, "Do you take her to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you take her?" And that's the idea of receiving. And it's not just taking something physically, but it's also grasping it. And then we come to this word today, believed. And chronologically, as I was thinking about it, in the order that it's written in John chapter 1, it says receive comes first. So we're going in the order that we see it in John chapter 1. They did not recognize him. They did not receive, but some did receive. Yet, and those who received, to those who believed in his name. And I think chronologically, though, in the order in which it happens, which we'll be looking at on Christmas Eve, and by the way, there's only about 35 spots left on the RSVP, so if you haven't RSVP'd yet, make sure that you do that. I believe that the word believe comes first. The act of believing comes first. And again, I don't know if we have slides or not. The app has gone out, so if it is, maybe you can just follow along with me from the back. But it comes first. We believe, and because there's that, like I mentioned last week, in the idea of grasping, of receiving, in the sense of grasping the understanding, the meaning of something. Like we say, do you get what I'm saying? And a lot of times we don't get things. It takes a little bit of time. We don't always get things the first time around. And I mentioned so many times in life when we are struggling with something to grasp something, whether it's a math subject or English or whether it's even athletics or sports or there's just something you're not getting down, you either give up or you set your mind to understanding it. And you say, you know what, this year I'm going to get this, or I'm going to do what it takes to grasp the meaning of this subject, to master it. So I think there's that sense, okay, well, once we set our minds to understanding, to examining, to searching out who Jesus is and what he has said, then we come to the point where we say, okay, based on now I believe, everything I've heard, everything I've seen, everything I see in the scriptures, I believe, therefore I receive, I take him to be mine. So let's go on in John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 14 and verse 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So the one who dwelt with God and is God became one of us and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God. That's verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God has made and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. All right, so I read these verses because I'm realizing that John in these verses is, he's making a statement, a thesis statement. You know when you write something, you're asked to, you know, you say what you're going to say, then you say it. And in the first sentence of a paragraph, you kind of lay out what it is you're going to say. Well, that's what John is doing in these verses. And the rest of the book is elaborating, expounding on what he has said here. So let me put it this way. John, what is it that he is stating in these verses? I'm going to summarize it this way. John is stating the fact that Jesus is in relationship and in nature one with the Father. So Jesus is in relationship and nature one with the Father and has come in the name of the Father to give life to all who believe in his name. To give life to all who believe in his name. So, I'm going to share with you 4 points. But before that, before you do the first point, I want to really bring this point out here of what John has basically now just stated, that Jesus is in relationship with the Father. He is one with the Father, and he has come to give us life and those who believe. Because as you look at the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a few words that are coming up in this chapter that then get repeated through the rest of the book. And the two main words that we're looking at is life. Jesus is life, right? In him is life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And then he says, and to all who believed in his name. So I went back. I do this a lot. I'll go back and look and see how many times does the word appear. Because as I was thinking about believe this week, I thought, okay, well, we can talk about what it means to believe. So I said, well, let me see how many other times the word believe appears in the Gospel of John, and in what context, and then see what is John saying about believing in Jesus in the rest of the Gospel. But then I did that, and then I thought, well, let me go and see how many times the word believe appears in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And sometimes it's the same. And okay, well, then there's no real difference there. They're all telling us this is the focus of all of them, but there was a big difference. For example, the word life appears in Matthew 18 times. It appears in Mark 8 times. It appears in Luke 21 times. It appears in John 41 times. And most of those are in reference to Jesus being the life. And 17 times in the Gospel of John when it says life, 17 times it says eternal life. So almost half of the uses of the word life is referring to eternal life, which is the life, again, that Jesus is giving us, that he came to give us eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. 17 times it appears in with those two words in particular. Then the word believe. Matthew only uses the word believe in any context 9 times. Mark uses the word believe 15 times. Luke only uses the word believe 10 times. John uses the word believe 84 times. So when I saw that, I thought, okay, this is a big theme in John's gospel. He has stated it here in John chapter 1, and now he's spending the rest of his gospel trying to get us to believe, right? Because that's what it says, that all who believe become. So he wants to make sure that we who are reading his gospel will believe and therefore become children of God. So he's really, that's a main point in this gospel. Not only that, there's 21 chapters in the Gospel of John, and all but 2 contain the word believe and believing in Jesus. So here are the four points I want to bring out to you this morning. The first, that we are to, we are to believe who he is, right? We are to believe who he is, who Jesus is, right? You know, Shakespeare famously says in Hamlet, to be or not to be, that is the question, right? To be or not to be, that is the question. But according to John, it's not to be or not to be. And obviously, if you know anything about Hamlet, I was researching a little bit. It's not just existing. He was kind of wondering whether it was even worth living, to continue living or not to continue living, to be or not to be. But John is saying it's to believe or not to believe. That is the question. Right? As you read his gospel, he's wanting to get you to understand it, to get to a point where you understand you need to make a choice. We all need to make a choice. If what Jesus says, if he is who he says he is, then we need to decide, or will we believe or not believe? So when he says, believe in his name, well, what does that mean, to believe in his name? Well, let's look at John chapter 4. And there's so many. I mean, 84 times, I had to really, cut it short and take out so many scriptures. I wish we had time. We don't have it on a Sunday morning to just go chapter by chapter and see all of the references that he uses referring to believing. So he says, believe. And chapter 4, verse 25. This is about the woman at the well. And I want us again to see who Jesus is. Now, John has just said in chapter 1 who he is. But what does the rest of the gospel, and how does he explain it in the rest of the verses? So we'll see. John chapter 4, he's in this conversation with this woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And in this conversation, he says in verse 25, the woman said, I know that the Messiah, right, called the Christ, the Messiah is the Savior, the one that the Jews have been waiting for. I know that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And a lot of times people will say, well, Jesus never really claimed to be God. Well, he absolutely did. And here he's saying to this woman, because she says the Messiah, she's referring to the Messiah, and he says, who is speaking to you, I am he, I am the Messiah. And she had this choice whether she was going to believe. And she did believe, and she ran to the town and told everybody else. And they believed. John chapter 9, there's another story of a man in chapter 9, verse 35 and 38 is what we'll be looking at. But this is another story of a man who was healed, and he was then expelled. But he didn't know who had healed him. He just knows that a man healed him. And they withdrew him. They kicked him out of the synagogue. And in chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus finds him. And Jesus heard that he had been thrown out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? He asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you or with you. And then in verse 38, the man declares, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. But Jesus asks him, it's not the first time where he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says it to Mary and Martha in chapter 11 when Lazarus, their brother, has died. And we all have probably heard that story where Lazarus has been dead for 4 days and Jesus goes in and he waits intently 4 days so that it will be clear that Lazarus is dead. And when he's talking with Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me will live, and even if they die. And she says to him, I know that, that you are the resurrection. I know that we will all live in the last day. Right? She's referring to her brother who's dead at this moment, and Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. And she says, I know that in the last day, I know when that day comes, yeah, my brother will come back. And that's when Jesus interrupts her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he looks at her and he says, do you believe this? Right? He didn't let her off the hook. He wanted her to answer him, just like he asked this man, "Do you believe what I've been telling you?" So there is a moment where we must decide. We have to choose. In John chapter 10, verse 24. Again, this is chapter after chapter, we see this same thing happening where Jesus is explaining who he is, that he is the Son of Man, that he has come in the name of the Father, which and John says, all who believe in his name, and to come in someone's name means that you come representing them. You are one with them. And we know that because one of the examples is in John chapter 10, verse 24 through 33. And he says that the Jews were gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. In other words, what he's saying, right? What's happening here? I have told you, but you're not getting it. You're not grasping it. You're not believing it. And just tell us plainly, are you Messiah? I did tell you, but you have not believed it. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. In verse 30, I and the Father are one. What's happening here? Remember, what to come in someone's name, when he would say that, there were times when they would then pick up stones. I'm only giving you one example, one of the most clear examples, but many times when he would say that I have come in my Father's name, that I do only what I see the Father doing, and that's what he's saying here. When you come in someone's name, that means you speak for them, you represent them. Jesus says again and again and again, I do only what I see the Father doing. I do only what he has commanded. I say only what he has told me to say. And then right here, he just comes out as plain as he can and says, I and the Father are one. And they got what he meant because in verse 31, again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from my Father, right? From the Father. He always attaches it to him being and representing the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good works, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. So the first thing that as you read Jesus, as you read the Gospels, is we believe who he is. Who the scriptures declare him to be. We believe who he himself has declared himself to be. The other thing is, number two, the first is, do we believe who he is? And then the second thing is, believe his words. Right? Because he, again, there are two main things that he mentions. His words, right? Believe my words. Believe what I am saying to you. Believe what I am teaching you. Study them and see if they are not true. So in John chapter 5, going back a few chapters, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And there it is again, eternal life, and will not be judged, but has crossed from death to life. And so Jesus is referring here to one of the ways we believe. There's really only two main ones that he brings up. And the first, he says, my words, believe. He who hears my words and believes. And this is very important because believing and faith are related words. And Romans tells us, how do we increase our faith? Where does faith come from? How does our faith grow? He says, faith comes from hearing. And not just hearing anything, but hearing the word of God. And in moments when, as a pastor, I have experienced this firsthand when my father died, as a human, I've experienced with my father. As a pastor, though, I've been with many people in those moments. And I know from my own experience that, you know, when I was in the hospital and they came in, nurses came and said, would you like us to call someone? We have a chaplain, you know, we have people who can come and talk to you. And I'm a pastor. I've said the verses. I've talked to people. I've told them all the things to comfort them in that moment. And I didn't want to hear it from anybody else. I said, no, I don't want to talk to anybody. And as I was crying out to the Lord spoke to me. And when he spoke, everything calmed down. When he spoke, things came into perspective. When he spoke, even in that moment of great pain and agony and loss, I found strength. So there is power. Remember, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. By his words, right, by the word of God, Genesis begins, in the beginning God said, let there be light. And there was. Right, by the power of his word, he speaks universes and galaxies into existence. That's why we need to know his word. There's nothing stronger. And going back to what I said last week, for those who are wondering and wrestling with who Jesus is, the way to know is to read the Gospels. Read the words. Read his words and then see for yourself. Don't listen to others only, but you without going to the word, then maybe listen to others to see how they explain and get broader understanding, but you have to go to the word first. And the next thing is, so Jesus believes, we believe his words. And then the third thing is, we must believe his works. We must believe his works. So Jesus says, if you don't believe my words, then believe based on what you see me doing. John chapter 10, verse 37, do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. So there's the words that Jesus is saying, but then there's the works. Now, obviously, the works that he was doing were miraculous works, but it's not just that. That in itself is not what reveals who Jesus is. Moses performed miracles. There are prophets who perform miracles, none like Jesus, because they did it clearly in a different role. But Jesus is doing it as the Son of God, but it's more than what he did in opening blind eyes or healing the lame or even raising Lazarus from the dead. It's the work of reconciliation. It's the work of redeeming us. It's the work of making a way. So, you know, it says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All right, so Jesus is the main works, because we can read about what Jesus did and believe in those works of healing. But it's what John 14, 6 is saying. It's that work that he came to do. I mean, Jesus did those good things, but if that's all he did, then we would still be lost. John chapter 14, verse 6, right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, here's the thing. In John chapter 1, what did John say? No one, verse 18, no one has ever seen God. But the Son, right? God, the one and only, who is in closest relationship to him, has made him known. Well, here John is going further in chapter 14 and saying he's not only made him known, he's made a way. Not just to know who God is, not just to know who the Father is or what the Father says, but to know him to be with him, to know who God is, to be in relationship. He's made a way. That is the work that he is doing. He's made a way for us. And he's made eternal life possible. That is the work, right, of giving us eternal life. John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I mean, there's so many, again, 17 times it talks about eternal life. But here's probably the most well-known, John 3:15, that everyone who believes may have, eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the work of redeeming, of making a way, and this eternal life, the work that he's doing, the work that he is accomplishing, it is relational. It's personal. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 17, or actually we may have it on the screen as well. John chapter 17, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now this is right before the end. It's the last days of Jesus' life, and it's the entire chapter is a prayer. And it is the most revealing prayer that we have of Jesus. And in John chapter 17, he starts off by saying, after Jesus had said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people that he might give. See here, that he might give. This is the work that he's been sent by the Father to do, to give eternal life to all those who you have given him. And verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So when Jesus is defining or explaining what eternal life is, it's not a place, it's a person. Right? Remember, John chapter 1 says, in him is life. He is life. He is the giver of life, but he is life himself. And that's what it's saying here. Eternal life is not a place, it's a person. It's not the ability to live forever. It's the knowledge and a relationship with God and Jesus. This is eternal life, that they know you. I mean, you know, in every movie or program where people are immortal and they live forever, most of the time by the end of the movie, what do they all want to do? They don't want to be immortal anymore. They're tired of seeing everyone that they know just pass away. They want to die. Eternal life without Jesus wouldn't be heaven. What makes heaven heaven is not the streets of gold. It's not all the beauty. It wouldn't be beautiful without Jesus. This is eternal life. So Jesus is saying, and John is trying to get us to understand and believe who he is, and believe in who he is based on what he has said and based on the work that he has performed, which is bringing us to a knowledge and a relationship, making a way for us to be with the Father. John 16:27 says, now, no, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. So you see, you love and believe. It's not just believing, it's love. We've been talking about believe, and believe is there 84 times because we need to understand and believe with our minds. But here's the last point, the fourth point. Believing is demonstrative. Believing is demonstrative. Believing is important. We've seen that. It's there 84 times in the Gospel of John. But what I've just pointed out was that this believing, it's not just believing intellectually, but it's relational. It's knowing God. And here's how we know it. When Peter, Jesus' right-hand apostle, the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. It's a devastating, devastating time in Peter's life. After the resurrection, the last chapter of John tells us that Jesus is walking with Peter. And as I was reading this, I realized, isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't ask Peter. As important as John is making believed to be. 84 times he uses the word. Jesus doesn't ask Peter, Peter, do you believe in me? Yes, Lord, you know I believe. Peter, do you believe in me? Yes, Lord, you know I believe. He doesn't do that, does he? Three times he says, Peter, do you love me? See, belief is demonstrative. Belief, saving faith. The belief in, because many believe who Jesus is. It says in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one? Great. Good for you. But the demons believe that and tremble. Right? So it's not just the intellectual understanding. It's demonstrative. It's active. It's believing and loving. And Jesus puts it this way in John chapter 14. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. See, that's just believe. It's not just believe, but those who really believe will love me and they will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. You see how you can't get away from it in the Gospel of John. Him talking about Jesus being one with the Father, sent by the Father to give us the words of the Father and do the works of the Father, which is all about reconciling us to a love relationship with him. And the last verse I'll share with you is John chapter 20, verse 31. It kind of sums it up right at the end. John has explained it in the beginning, and now he comes and wraps it up in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I mean, it's what's so exciting for as you know, some, no matter how long I've been looking at this chapter or this gospel, I'm seeing John's heart throughout the entire Gospel of John. I'll never look at the Gospel of John the same. But then here's the point, right? Like we started off by saying, to believe or not to believe, that is the question. If you hear his words, you see what he has done, then you are faced with having to make a choice to believe. And not just to believe, but then to enter into a relationship to become his child. So will you pray for me? And John, do we have a closing song? Let me pray, and then we'll sing this closing song. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending us your Son, your one and only, Jesus, the Messiah. You have said it plainly, and Jesus said it plainly. And just like Jesus with the man, with the woman at the well, with Mary and Martha, he asked them, he put them on the spot, do you believe? Mary and the man, they each said, yes, I believe. They worshiped. Pray if anyone here listening this morning has not made that decision, has not believed, has not taken Jesus as your own, but you're ready to do that this morning, would you just tell him, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You are the Word of God. And you have done the work of reconciling man to the Father, of giving us eternal life and eternal love. And I receive that. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. as we close, just remind you that we'll be hopefully celebrating Christmas Eve just in just 4 days with this last message on becoming a child of God. So I hope you will be here or tuning in online. Let's worship.